Has anyone here ever worked in real estate? Okay. There's a saying in real estate, and I think it still goes. I heard someone say it the other day, that the most important thing that you have when dealing with real estate is location, location, location. And it really is true. But think about it. If you're wanting to sell your house, and if you want good money for your house, you need to have good location. It can be a super nice house, but if it's in a bad place, it's going to hurt it. Now, this is Jackson County. If your kin live in this place, I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to insult them, but if you were to go down 124 on the way to Braselton and Houston, there is a junkyard there. And if you go by that junkyard, right near that junkyard, almost across the street from it, is this huge mansion, this beautiful brick mansion. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why anyone built that there. I think it might be someone who owns the junkyard. But they're going to have to live there the rest of their life. They're never going to be able to sell it or at least get the worth out of it because the location isn't where it should be. Recently, some of you met my sister and some of you know my sister. They were serving in Guam and she has returned. Her and her husband have returned and they've moved to Jacksonville. And when they moved to Jacksonville, they moved to the far side of the city away from the beach. Why? It's cheaper there. But location did matter because they researched things like schools and how far they would have to drive to take care of their shopping and take care of their work, how far Chris would have to drive before he could work. Your location also changes what you have access to. We live in Jackson County. In Jackson County, if you live in the county and not in the city, about the only thing you have access to are roads in schools, and some excellent fire service, I might add. But beyond that, there's really not much. You do have access to Windstream. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Everybody here loves Windstream, right? You have access to Windstream. You don't have any trash service. You got spotty animal control. You get a little more in the city. If you live in Athens, you have access to shopping and restaurants, and they probably take care of your trash and some other things. You pay more taxes, of course. But the question there is whether, when you have access to those things, is where is your location? Are you in the city limits or are you not in the city limits? Your location matters. Let me tell you, we're going to look here in Ephesians today and several other times as I preach over the next few months. Location isn't just a real estate issue. It is the most important spiritual issue that every human being faces. There are two options when it comes to spiritual location. Either you are in Christ or you aren't in Christ. Location matters in the spiritual realm. We'll look in the scriptures here over a few sermons at exactly what this means, or this phrase that we're going to look at today. The phrase is in Him. You see it mentioned so many times in the New Testament. If you were to pull a computer program up and start to look up either the phrase in Him, in whom, or in Christ, it would astound you the number of times it's talked about. It's talked about so much that you have to start to wonder, is God trying to tell me something about what in Him means and the glories of in Him, the spiritual blessings that we have? It starts in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Look, if you will, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This isn't going to be our text, but it gets us going down this road. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, or in Him. What are these spiritual blessings? It's kind of a general statement that Paul makes here. What are the spiritual blessings that he's talking about? Well, he gets a lot more specific about the blessings that we have in Him. So we're going to dive into that, but what we need more than anything else right now is for the Holy Spirit to work in my life and to work in your life. For Him to open your ears and to make you willing to obey the Word. For Him to loosen my tongue and for Him to speak, not for me to speak. So why don't we ask Him for His enablement and grace now. Father, we come to You boldly, not because of anything that I've done, but boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ.
the payment that He made for us. Lord, You say that in Him I have access to the throne of God. Lord, that's a humbling thing. Lord, I need Your help. My friends here need Your help. Would You fill me with the fullness of the Spirit? Would You fill them as well? Lord, the gospel will go out here today. Spirit of God, You know whose hearts the gospel has been applied to and those whose hearts it hasn't been applied to. Would You convict? Would You draw? Lord, we love You. I thank You that You promised that You'll help us. I thank You that You promised that in Christ we have the power that we need to accomplish what You've called us to do. And we believe that You'll do it now for the glory of His name. Amen. As I mentioned, Ephesians 1:3 starts with this idea of Him blessing us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. God doesn't just stay general, He gets specific. Lewis Berry Schaefer, who is a very well-known theologian, actually sat down and found out or discovered and researched all the blessings that the person in Christ has that are attached with this phrase. He came up with 33 specific things that happens for the person who is in Christ. And we have to understand that this idea of being in Christ starts with location. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This is going to be our text. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Did you notice the in whom? Who is the whom there? It's Him. It's Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So Ephesians 1:7 says in whom, it's talking about Christ, but it seems to talk about what is in Christ. Let me see if we're going to make a differentiation today as we go along. We're going to make a differentiation between location and then what actually is in Christ. If you're talking about what's in Christ, you could talk about what would be in a tool bag. In my closet right now, I have a tool bag that I keep in my house so I don't have to go down to the barn to my tool chest. These are household tools. And if I were to say, Lee, go to the tool bag and get that particular tool in the tool bag, that means that the tool bag contains that particular thing. And that's the idea that you get here in Ephesians 1:7. This statement is talking about it's something that is in Him, something that He has. But we have to understand that in Him isn't a mere statement of what is in Christ. It also speaks of our location in the realm or the sphere of Christ. We can be in Him. A few weeks ago, our family went on vacation. Someone had graciously allowed us to stay at a place they had on a lake in South Carolina. Well, you could go up to the lake, and my children would do this, and we could look at the lake. It looked refreshing. There were fish in there. There was all kinds of fun to be had in the lake. The water contained all of those things. But the water is also a place that I can be. My children would jump. I don't like lakes, swimming in lakes. I'll swim in the deep part of the lake. I don't like the squishy part. So my children would jump off the dock and they would swim. I didn't really get out there much because I don't like the squishy stuff. But my children could actually get in the lake. They were immersed in the lake. They were in that sphere, if you will. They were in the realm of the water. And Scripture talks about us being in Christ as a matter of location. It speaks of us being in Him as a statement of where we are at. Let's look at some Scriptures here that I think will illustrate that. All right, this is Philippians 3:8-9. Notice what it says towards the end of this. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found where? In Him. So that is a statement of location. You can be in Christ. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. So we are talking about being in the realm of or in the sphere of Christ. He is a new creature. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You can actually be in Him who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Look at Romans 16:7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. This is Paul talking. He's saying, these people that I'm talking about, they were in Christ. They had been taken to and put in the realm of Christ before I was ever saved. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is a verse of great comfort for those who've ever lost a loved one who is a believer in Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there are those who die, and when they die, they are literally in Christ, or spiritually in Christ. And here's the last one here, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Scripture contains many more statements about this location of us being in him. Every person, we have to understand how we get in him. Every person is born and starts out separated from God. Sin breaks the relationship to where we are not in Christ, we're not even in fellowship with him, we are separated from God, and the Scripture says that we are located somewhere else. Where are we located at before a person comes to salvation? Ephesians 2:5 tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." That is our location before we are saved. We are facing punishment for our crimes. The Scripture speaks of a change in location from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. Everyone is in one of those locations. You've got two options. You can be in sin, or you can be in him. If you are in sin, then that means you are separated from him, and you will be separated from him for all of eternity. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the fact that if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then we are still in our sins. That is our location. We are still in our sins, we are still separated from God, and we are still bound for an eternal separation from him in that awful place called hell. So, how do you have this relocation? How do you move from being here, which is the state that every single human being is born in, how do you move from here to here? The Scripture talks about the fact that we are all separated from God and that we're bound for eternal punishment, but that we can be saved by repenting, that is, turning from our sin and turning from our own works and turning from trying to earn heaven on our own and believing in Jesus Christ. Confessing him as Lord. It's looking at him and it's saying, "Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you died in my place. And you are God, I will give my life to you and I will follow you as God because you've done everything that's necessary for my salvation." We confess with our mouth that he is Lord. We believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We turn from going our own way and trying to earn our way to heaven. We turn from our sin and we turn to him to henceforth live for him. When we believe in him and his death in our place, do you know what happens? God changes our location. He takes us out of sin and he puts us in him, into the realm of Christ. This means relocation gives us possession of and access to all that is in Christ. Once we are in him, we then have access to everything that is in him. Ephesians list and Colossians list and several other books in the New Testament, they list a large number of spiritual blessings that are in Christ. When your spiritual location is in Christ, all the things that are in Christ are yours. Let me see if we can illustrate it this way. When you're in sin, you're not in Christ. But when you move to the realm of Christ, when you change spiritual location, when you're placed in him at salvation, everything that is his is yours. He has freely given us all things. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Peace, life, fruit, victory, power, A God-type agape love, redemption, grace, boldness before God, righteousness, forgiveness, all of those things and countless more are yours when you are placed in Him. When the change of location has been made, if you aren't in Christ, let's look at the opposite of this. If you spiritually aren't located in Christ, then the things He has aren't yours. And this, right here, is the state of the entire lost world, in sin, separated from the life of Christ, not in Him, not having access to a single one of those blessings. Let's see if we can illustrate this location giving you access. A lot of people here have been to the Wilds. If you're familiar with the Wilds, it is a Christian camp in North Carolina, and our church likes to send our teens up there in the fall for a retreat. Our college and career will go there for a retreat. Some of our older folks will go there. The couples will go there for retreats. When you go to the Wilds, there are a lot of things to do. Location-wise, where are we at right now? Are we at the Wilds? No, we are in Athens. We are away from the Wilds. But if you go to the Wilds, they have several things that can happen there on that huge, huge campus. What is it, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 acres? I can't remember. They have food. They'll give you all the food that you need. They have preaching. They have hiking. They have a big swing. They have archery. They have gazebo. They have human foosball. They have tubing. They have putt-putt. They have basketball, paintball, volleyball, and a score of other things. But to access those things, you have to be where? You have to be at the Wilds. You have to be in the Wilds. We cannot access those things from here. We are separated from the Wilds. We are not in the Wilds right now. But when we are in the Wilds, we get everything that goes along with it. Now, sadly, as much as we love the Wilds, that's temporary. Sometimes you go there and you wish you could stay there for a long time. It's temporary. But spiritually, when a person calls on the Lord for salvation, there is a permanent change of location. In Christ, they then have everything that He offers to the believer. They have access to it. Now, there are some things that we need to keep in mind when we're talking about the blessings or the things that are in Christ. Some of the blessings in Christ are realities. It is something that every believer who is in Christ has. By being in Christ, we possess these spiritual blessings. Every person who is in Christ has eternal life. That is a reality. Every person who is in Christ has the Holy Spirit. That is a reality. Every person who is in Christ has been made a son or daughter of God. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. Every person who is in Christ has been justified. That means God looks at them as if they are innocent, as if they had never sinned. That is a reality. But there are some things in Christ that aren't realities, they are potentialities. We have access to these things. We might not take advantage of them. We might take advantage of them. It's like going to the Wilds. If you want to go on the swing, you can go on the swing. You can access that if you want. You don't have to, but you're missing out on a lot of fun and a few heart attacks. So you look at it as a potentiality. In Christ, we have access to spiritual blessings that He has. These aren't automatic. In Christ, we have bold access to the throne of God. But you don't have to go there. But you can. You should. In Christ, we have access to power. It's not automatic that you have power as a believer. That power is accessed by dependence on Christ. In Christ, you have access to victory. But a lot of Christians don't actually access it. They live in defeat. They live with sin having dominion over them when Christ has the victory over sin. So it's a potentiality. And so as we look at these in Him statements, and this will be really spread out, as we look at these in Him statements, we've got to ask some questions. The first question that we ask is, are we talking about location or are we talking about blessing? Are we talking about where we are at or are we talking about something that Christ has and that He wants to give us? So the first question is location or blessing. The second question that we ask is it a possession, if it's a blessing, is it possession or is it potential? Is it something that we have or is it something that we can have access to? And we're going to illustrate that here in Ephesians 1:7, the passage that we're looking at today. So let's read it again. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a blessing or are we talking about location? I believe we're talking about blessing. This is something that Christ has that He gives us. So if it's a blessing, we've got to ask the question, is it something that's potential or is it something that we possess? I've got good news for you. If you are a believer, everything we read, you possess it right now. It is yours. How do we know it's a possession? Well, let's break the verse down here. In whom, or in Him, we have. That word have is important. The word have, get this, the word have means to hold or possess. He's not talking about something that is potential. He is talking about something that we possess right now. Something that the believer possesses. If you were to look at this in the original language, there are some hints that tell us what Paul is thinking here. First of all, it's present tense. That means you have it right now and you will keep on having it. Nothing's going to take it away. It's present tense. It's also active. That means you have it, not someone else out there. It is something that you possess. And it's also plural. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and he's saying, y'all have this. And there is no better descriptive word for plural, no better plural pronoun than y'all. So I'm going to keep using y'all through this. Whenever you hear it, think about it. It's the fact that we as a body, those who are in Christ here, it is something that we possess. Y'all are holding this. Many of you have your Bibles. It is a present possession that you have right now. Y'all are holding your Bibles. And Christ and Paul is saying, y'all hold this, what I'm about to talk about. It's yours. What is it that we hold or possess? In Him, y'all right now have redemption. Now there are several words in the New Testament for redemption. The first word that we see a lot of times means to buy out of a slave market. To take someone who is a slave, to go in and pay a price and to buy them. It speaks specifically of buying a slave. This word is similar. It doesn't use the slavery image. This word is similar and it means to release by payment. To set free by payment. In the very, very early days of our country, and back in the old country of England, they used to have these things called debtor prisons. And if you couldn't pay a debt, you went to prison. The colony of Georgia was actually founded as a place to send debtors. A person could be redeemed from debtor's prison if someone went in and paid their debt. They paid the price for the release. And when the release was paid, that person was free to go. And that's what he's talking about. In Christ, the benefit that we have is we right now have redemption. But he goes on and he tells us how we have that redemption. In Him, y'all are free because Jesus Christ paid the price with His blood. Look at what the verse says. In whom we have what? Redemption. Through or by or because of what? His blood. There are some people, there are some believers who shy away from talking about the blood of Jesus. We don't like blood. Some people, when they see blood, they get sick at their stomach. I heard of the young lady who wanted to be a nurse but couldn't stand the sight of blood. I don't know how it worked out for her. I don't know if she's a nurse now. We can't stand blood. But it's His blood that was the price for our redemption. We were in sin debt. We were separated from God. We were in sin. And the only way that we could be removed from sin and put into Christ, the only way we could have the change of location is if Jesus came and paid the price of sin and set us free. You are free because of His blood. Without the shedding of His blood, there would be no remission, there would be no forgiveness for your sins. So He says, this is something that we hold, it's redemption, it's because of the blood of Christ, but then He goes on and He says, in Him, y'all are free because His blood payment brings forgiveness. Look again at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. His blood not only pays for the freedom, it makes forgiveness possible. This word forgiveness has the idea of a dismissal of charges. It is the pardoning of a crime. It is the setting of a captive free from punishment. You know, this is exactly what the Old Testament promised Jesus would do. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says that He came to set the captive free. And the only way the captive, that's you and me in our sin, the only way that the captive can be set free is if a pardon is issued, is if the sin is dealt with, and if the sin is forgiven. And that's what His blood makes possible. Now, this seems like an obvious question, but we need to look at it. What is it exactly that we are forgiven of? We have forgiveness of what? Ephesians 1:7 says, we have forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven of sins. This is for the person who is located in Christ. The change of location has been made. The forgiveness of sins is there. This isn't the normal word for sin. You've all heard, you've been to seminars and maybe you've been through other preachers and you've heard someone talk about sin. And sin is described as missing the mark. So in other words, we are all trying to be good. We are all trying to be holy like God. We're all trying to do what's right. But we sin and we miss the mark. We can't measure up to God's standard. Romans 3:23 puts it this way. We fall short of God's standard. That is the normal word for sin, to miss the mark. This word, though, is different. It is much stronger. It means trespasses. Your trespasses are forgiven. It speaks of willfully crossing a boundary. That's what you do when you trespass, isn't it? If you intentionally trespass on someone's property, what do? You intentionally cross the boundary. I remember one time, I went turkey hunting with a friend of mine. And this was the first time Casey had ever been, I think this was the first time she'd ever been hunting with me. We were married. I think Lee had already been born. We arranged childcare for him. But we went turkey hunting over in Morgan County. Man, there's some good turkey hunting in Morgan County. We got over there, and this friend of mine had been scouting out a place for us to hunt. And he had found it. He said, there is this place. He says, it's down near Sandy Creek in Morgan County. He says, if we go set up on Sandy Creek, he says, I promise you, you are going to hear a gobbler. He will gobble his head off. You will get so excited, you will tremble, you will shake at the sound of it. He says, but there's a problem. He says, this gobbler is on the other side of the creek. And he flies down every morning and gets in this pasture over on the other side, and you can hear him. And he actually starts off near the creek, but all the hens are hanging up there in that pasture. And he says, you will call and call and call, and he will call back to you, but he's trying to decide between you, one hen, and a whole flock of hens up here on the hill. He says, I can't promise that you're going to see him or you're going to have a shot at him. So we went, got down there early that morning. The sun started coming up, and as the sun started coming up, I mean, someone sneezed, I think. He was going like crazy. And I mean, literally, I counted. We heard that turkey gobble over 100 times. And he was somewhere from me to San Mark away. I couldn't see him, but he was that far away. I was so excited. My hands were shaking. I just knew at any moment he was going to cross that creek and come over to me. And for an hour and a half, we called that stupid bird, and he stayed on the other side of the creek. Do you know what I wanted to do more than anything? I wanted to trespass. I wanted so bad to cross that creek and go over there and get him. But if I had done so, would it have been an accident? Would it have been something that I did with all good intentions? It would have been a trespass. It would have been intentional. And I would have trespassed because the bird on the other side of the boundary would have been more important to me than the boundary. Do you realize that every human being, when they get to the point to where they are moral agents, where they can understand what they are doing, every human being sins on purpose. God is not ambiguous here by using this word, trespasses. We don't accidentally slip our way into hell by making mistakes. We trespass. And we do it on purpose. God says don't, and we do. God told Adam, do not eat of that fruit. And Adam ate of the fruit. Trespass. Every human. This is going to sound awful strong, but this is the witness of Scripture. Every human being is a lying, thieving, idol-worshipping, coveting, disobeying, blaspheming trespasser. And that's just according to the Ten Commandments. That is us. And we trespass because the bird on the other side of what God has said is more important to us than obeying God. Now, that is a very bad place to be in when we are in sin, when we are in our trespasses. But, it is a big but, those in Him find that He paid the blood price to release them and pardon them for their trespasses. The crime punishment has been paid. Not by me, by Him. The penalty for the trespass has been dealt with. Not by me, but by Him. And because I am in Him, that means I get access to the forgiveness that He offers. I have access to the redemption that He won for me. Y'all possess it if you are a believer. The final thing here. Y'all are free and forgiven by the blood for one reason and one reason alone. You know what it is? It's grace. Look back at Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to, that word according is very important, according to the riches of His grace. He's saying God has all these, this abundance of grace, and we have this according to this grace. God didn't have to do any of this. God didn't have to redeem us. God didn't have to offer us forgiveness. He could have said, you dirty trespassers, you chose to do that, you made your bed, now sleep in it. And He would have been within His rights as the holy and just judge of the universe. But grace came into play. It all comes down from grace. God has the right to judge trespassers, and He will judge trespassers. But right now, He offers forgiveness. That forgiveness is controlled by grace. Undeserved favor is what grace is. It's something that we don't deserve. This word according, or according to, means down from, dominated by, flowing from. So what He's saying here is God did all of this, the redemption, the forgiveness of the trespasses. He did it. It was dominated by His grace. It all flows from grace. It flows out of grace. His heart of love for us. He doesn't have to do it, but He does. He doesn't have to offer it to us, but He does. But it gets even better. God's abundance of grace, His riches, dominates His dealings with man. It's offered to all. But I love how Paul puts this. Look in verse 8. Wherein? This word wherein, he's talking about the grace. Wherein, or because of this grace, He hath abounded toward us. This word abounded is very descriptive. It has the idea of lavishing. Over and above. Excess. More than is needed. His grace abounds. There is more grace in God than you will ever, ever come close to tapping. There is more favor in God towards those who are in Christ than you will ever, ever be able to exhaust. There's not a whiff of stingy in God when it comes to grace. God wants us to know that no matter how much we've trespassed, there's more grace than the number of trespasses. Grace is what sets salvation in motion. This is the way Romans 5:20 puts it. He says, where sin did abound, how does it continue? Grace did much more abound. Grace did super abound. Where there was sin, where there was trespasses, there was more grace than any trespass that we've committed. Now, this does not mean that we sin so that we can have access to grace. That's not what it means by any stretch. We shouldn't think that sin is okay, but it should cause us to rest knowing that if we sin, grace has made provision for forgiveness. This is the way 1 John chapter 2 puts it. If any man, he says, I write unto you that you sin not, do not sin. Don't do it. But if you do sin, if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Don't do it, but when you do, I've got you covered. And I've got more than you need. It's like going to your grandmother's on Thanksgiving. Have you ever been to grandmother's on Thanksgiving? Have you ever run out of food at grandmother's on Thanksgiving? Please, if you've run out of food at your grandmother's on Thanksgiving, I want to know about this. It never happens. I think it is impossible. Why? Because she lavishes you. As a matter of fact, the way that it works when you go to grandmother's at Thanksgiving is you eat until you are sick. And then she says, here's a gallon baggie full of turkey for you to take home. Here's a gallon baggie of some ham. You want some stuff? There's more than you need. That's grace. That's God's grace toward us. So let's wrap this up. The most important question that I can ask here today is the location question. Have you made the spiritual location change? In other words, are you in Christ or are you in sin? It's only one of two options, in sin or in Christ. We enter into Christ by believing, turning in faith to Him, repenting, turning from doing it our way, turning from our sin and turning to Him, confessing Him as Lord. If you have sat here today and you say, you know what, I'm still in my sin. My sin has not been dealt with. This forgiveness and this redemption, it's not a possession of mine. We can help you make that a possession to where you're included in the y'all next time. The Scripture is very clear. It's not complicated. We'd love to take the Scripture and show you how that change of location can happen. All of the redemption, all of the forgiveness, all of the grace that are in Christ, listen, are only potentialities for you if you're in your sin. They're things that you can have. You can have Him. You can be in Him. but it's only a potential. It's not reality. Believer, listen. Sometimes I think it's good for us to just park and focus on the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ because we forget them. Thank God that you are in Christ and that in Him these truths that we've talked about today are realities. If you will live this way, live with the reality that you are in Him, this is what will happen. When we look at the other in Him statements, living with the confidence of this location and what He has done will help you access those things later on. Living in confidence that you are in Christ will help you with those. The other in Him statements will help. Live aware of the reality that you are in Him. He will be the answer to every situation that you face. When you realize that you're in Him, when you awaken to the fact that you are in Him, that you are in the sphere of Christ, then you will see that He has all that you need located in Him. It is a glorious truth. In Him, you are complete. Everything that you need as a believer, everything that you need for victory, everything that you need for peace is in Him. But we've got to start living cognizant of the fact of our location. Let me tell you, we're going to look at some other truths over time. You can look at these. I didn't know that. Because I'm in Him, I have that. So let's thank God today that we're in Him. And believer, don't miss the point, or don't miss the fact that our responsibility is to be real estate agents for the Lord. Now, this is going to sound kind of hokey, but our responsibility is to be real estate agents for the Lord. You know what our responsibility is? It's to help people from the location of being in sin to help them to the location of being in Him. That is the most important thing that we have to do, is to point as many people to Christ so they can be in Him as possible. Heads bowed, eyes closed if you don't mind, please. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. We love You. Thank You for redemption. Thank You for forgiveness. Lord, I thank You that You took my intentional trespasses and You've forgiven them. I thank You that You took the punishment for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, if someone here needs to make the location change, draw them to Yourself. Don't let them leave here, Lord, please, without having done that. We ask this in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen. If you would stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the instrumentalists will start playing now.